Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. We have a guest in our house. Our youngest son is here visiting from Texas. Hallelujah. I'm going to resist the temptation that I may talk about it later. Yesterday, we started talking about God's abundance for us.
Amen.
And before we continue, let's do a brief review. Here are seven facts about God's abundance for each of us. Fact number one, we were created in abundance.
Amen.
Read Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Ephesians 3, 21 and 20. 20 and 21. And we do, we learn three things. First, God not only wants to give us more than we can ask. Second, God wants to give us this unlimited blessing according to the power that worketh in us.
Hallelujah.
Third, we see the true purpose of this abundance. The realm of more than we can ask or think belongs to those who see God's glory. And not their own.
Yes. Fact number two, we must begin walking in abundance. Hey, congratulations. You just started taking the first step to walking in abundance because you now know, yes, you can know scripturally that that's what God intends for you and you're one of his children. Once you know God desires abundance for you, then you're ready to take the second step. And in your own words, using scripture, form an effective giving and receiving covenant with God. We did that yesterday. You can pay the MP3 in a few days. Fact number three, there is prosperity in abundance.
In God's word, we read we must first give away that which we want to accumulate. If you desire abundance in finances, you must give away a part of your finances. God's thoughts are not our thoughts.
And it's whatever seed you plant.
That's
meaning it. Meaning you plant money seeds, you reap.
Absolutely.
Money seeds.
So now we're going to pick up where we left off yesterday.
Fact four. We must abound in faithfulness. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. These are scriptures you need to personalize because it helps get it down inside of you. A faithful man like Ray shall abound with blessings. A faithful woman like Brenda shall abound with blessings. You know, if we want to become faithful, we must first promise to be faithful to something, someone. Not until we make that promise and keep it, make that covenant, do you have to prove yourself to be faithful. Traditionally, we've been led to believe that God promises only spiritual blessings, not financial or material. But Proverbs 28:19, this is just one of many, Proverbs 28:19, Classic Amplified, it clearly shows that blessings of faithful men are material and financial as well. It says, he who cultivates his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless people in pursuits will have poverty enough. And there are so many more scriptures. There's no question that God wants you to have spiritual blessings, but he also desires that you have plenty of bread, a symbol of all of our material needs in this scripture in Proverbs. God is not just interested in our spiritual blessings. He talks about basic needs and desires. Notice that those who are not faithful, who follow after vain people or operate a futile plan, they're going to end up poor. However, if you are faithful in keeping your promises to God, he will be faithful in keeping his promises to you.
Absolutely. Fact number five, poverty is not godly. You may be living in poverty or great need right now. You may be in a financial wilderness. So don't become disappointed when you hear us speaking of the abounding prosperity God intends for us. The Macedonian church was in deep, deep poverty. They were so poor that when they put together a financial gift for the gospel ministry, they had to beg Paul to receive it. 2 Corinthians 8:4, Living Bible. They begged us to take the money so they could share in the joy of helping the Christians in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Macedonians understood the principles of biblical economics, they prospered so much that their testimony is used and has been used to encourage other churches to give. The pattern takes place throughout God's word. Remember the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17? She was in deep poverty until she cast off fear and gave to God's prophet. When she gave of her food, she became a prosperous woman with more than enough to meet her needs. If poverty were God's will for his children, he would not bring them out of their circumstances, as it says in 1 Kings 17:15-16. If it were godly to be poor, God would have given the widow Zarephath so much she and her household did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, was not used up, neither was the cruse of oil, did it fail. If you don't have enough money to eat or to meet your daily needs, then by all means, follow the principles of biblical economics that the widow of Zarephath and the church of Macedonia followed. Proverbs 11:25, New Living Translation. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed.
Hallelujah.
Remember, God can change your poverty to prosperity even when you're down to your last few crumbs. He did it in Bible days, and he's still doing it today.
Amen. Fact 6. You, or actually we, must give in abundance. You may feel consider yourself a generous giver. You may be faithful with your tithe and even give generous offerings when prompted by a well-presented need or moved by the Spirit. Now I encourage you to enter a whole new dimension of giving and receiving. We want you to experience a bold new realm far beyond what now seems substantial to you. Your giving horizon, the highest, greatest, most blessed experience of giving and receiving that you can imagine, is merely the starting point. A whole new giving experience is beginning to take form in your spirit today. You know, our adversary, the devil, tries to keep us from rising above the level of our current level of giving. He's already mad that we're already giving. He wants to keep you in a low level of awareness, far shorter of what God intends for you and far shorter of what you desire to attain. Now is the strategic time to make up your mind that you're going to think some bold new thoughts and make some financial breakthroughs. Begin now to prayerfully elevate your thoughts and finances to a new dimension. Ask God to guide you into a new level of plenty. Let me ask you a serious question. Let us. Why does the Bible speak of an increase in our money and material wealth? Why does the Bible talk about prosperity at all? Surely God knows money, wealth, and prosperity have to do with activity going on right now on planet Earth. Prosperity, money, and wealth are of this realm. Listen carefully to the words of Jesus as he promises an increase of goods beyond our wildest dreams. Not after we get to heaven, but right in the here and now. It says in Mark 10:29-30, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sister and brother and children and lands and in the world to come eternal life. Houses and lands will have no real value in eternity. We don't have to buy and sell up there. The only time a new house will mean anything to us is in the here and now. And such things are, well, they're provided in heaven. So yeah, God is deeply concerned about your spiritual blessings. He does. The only way you prosper is through your spirit first. But he also is concerned about your material blessings here and now. He wants to make sure that you are not in lack.
Wow, that's good. Fact number 7, God is the author of abundance. God wants you to abound, and it is his blessings that enable you to accumulate wealth. Here's a key principle in biblical economics. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and added no sorrow with it. That's a great verse to personalize. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh Maya rich, and he added no sorrow with it. Personalize that for yourself. God is the author of your abundance. In the scripture, he's laid down a firm foundational plan to teach you how to become rich without sorrows. Keep in mind that these are God's words, not ours. Why has God given us a clear plan for increasing wealth? God's basic desire is for us to grow beyond simply being blessed and becoming a blessing to others. The book of Romans tells us that giving is a spiritual gift. Giving liberally to finance the end time harvest will bless people in precisely the same way as prophecy, teaching, exhortation, and even speaking in tongues. Romans 12, verses 6 and 8. Romans 12, 6 and 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us, for the prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. And he that giveth, let him do it liberally. We continue to hear about the gift of prophecy, the gift of teaching, gift of exhortation. When was the last time you heard a sermon on the gift of giving? Other than if you listen to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast. Virtually every great work of God has to have a faithful group of supporters behind it, people who minister with their finances. You will need more than enough if you're going to have a ministry of giving. That is why God is the author of abundance.
Hallelujah.
His blessing can make you rich without sorrow.
And I love the way that Classic Amplified, which amplifies it, says, and he adds no toiling, and no toiling will increase it.
That's it.
Hallelujah.
We need to remember the only way out of poverty, want, shortage, and insufficiency, and ending God's abundant provision, is generous giving. Whatever you give to God, he'll always give back to you. Be faithful over a little, and God will give you a lot to be faithful over. If you exercise faithfulness and patience, eventually you'll find yourself in the ministry of finance as a banker for God, moving in the abundance that he has for each of us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to heraldhearing.com. Click the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.